voice, worship Him, thank Him. Father, You are wonderful, and Lord, Your word is life to those that find it, health to all of our flesh. Father, we believe that Your word feeds our spirit, renews our mind, brings health and strength to our bodies. Lord, we just believe that Your word provides everything we're ever going to need, and we just glorify You tonight. Lord, we're going to receive Your word with joy. And Father, we thank You. It's our help. Your word is our answers. And Father God, we just yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost here tonight and all that You want to say and all that You want to do. Father, we thank You for utterance. We thank You for boldness here tonight.
Yes.
Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We praise You, Lord God. We just worship You and we honor You. And Father God, we just give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes, here we go. We're excited to receive the Word. And I'm excited for what the Lord has for us tonight. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and over there to the New Testament with me. Go to Matthew chapter 12. And I have a confession to make right off the top of the service. This was not the regularly scheduled programming. And so this was something that just came today, meaning the leading to actually share this message. I was in Jamestown this morning, and our department down there called Jamestown City Revival held a men's breakfast, and I just shared some things, and it wasn't going to be anything that I shared in the main services for this weekend. But then, you know, the Spirit just quickened me to share along a similar line that we shared earlier today. And so this is kind of switching gears here, all right? So go with me to Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to call this message the home, the city, and the nation. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching this message because it's Father's Day next week. You know, I'm not preaching this message for any other reason, but beside it just seemed good to the Spirit of God to share this message in the main services as well. Go to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start over there in verse 22. I'm going to read down through verse 29. And you remember when Jesus was constantly dealing with the Pharisees, right? And the Pharisees, remember, they were the religious elite of their day. They were highly trained in the Word of God. They were doctors of the Old Testament. They were the absolute top leadership spiritually in Israel at the time. And how many of you know that many of them, they gave Jesus a lot of trouble, or I should say they tried to give Jesus a lot of trouble. They were always, you know, contesting Him. They were always trying to trick Him and to, you know, bring Him down and so on. Well, in this case, this is another experience that the Pharisees were trying to drag Jesus down or try to question what He was doing. And so we go over to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read in verse 22. But how many of you know that the Lord was never stumped by anything that they said? And through this passage, we're going to start to see, you know, some things that are just being mentioned in passing. In context, Jesus is talking about casting out demons, you know, and the Pharisees, you know, they were well aware of casting out demons and so on. And through this passage, Jesus just seems to start mentioning things that we need to understand and consider and how these spiritual laws operate in the world that you and I live in. And so let's just read it, and then we will come back and we will go through it. It says in verse 22, then a demon-possessed man. I'm reading in the New American Standard here tonight. It'll look very similar to the King James. It'll be almost word for word. You can follow along. If you just notice some differences, that's the reason why. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, so he could not see and he could not speak, was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him so that the mute man spoke and he saw. It says, all the crowds were amazed and were saying, can this man be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, They said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house, everyone say house. He said, any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So how many of you know he wasn't just talking at the national level? He wasn't just talking at the regional level. He was talking at the home level. And so tonight we're going to talk about the home, the city, and the nation. And really, we're going to talk about the home. Praise the Lord. And so he said, any kingdom divided against itself, any city or house divided against itself will not stand. Jesus says in verse 26, he says, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Jesus says, if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Let me read that verse again. Jesus says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you or come near to you. And then verse 29, and this is going to be the focus for us here tonight. Jesus says, or how can anyone enter the strong man's house? Everyone say house. And carry off his property or his goods unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Of course, you know, Jesus is being accused of casting out demons with the power of Satan. And Jesus is basically explaining to the Pharisees, he's saying, you know, Satan is at least smart enough not to divide his own kingdom. He's saying, I can't cast out demons by Satan because Satan does not cast out Satan, right? Satan is at least smart enough not to divide himself against his own kingdom, for his kingdom cannot stand if he were to do so. Folks, notice this in this passage. I think it's very interesting. We've got to take note of this. Notice Jesus said, go back up there and go up there in verse 26. It says, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Folks, notice this. In passing, Jesus says that Satan has a kingdom. And here's what we need to know and understand. How many of you know Satan has a kingdom? God has a kingdom. And also, you and I, we live in the kingdoms of men. And we need to know and understand how these kingdoms operate. But what I need to share with you, you know, here tonight is that there is a kingdom of Satan, and that kingdom of Satan is operating against God's people on an absolute daily basis to try to pressure, try to hinder, and to try to defeat God's people. Folks, there is so much, you know, controversy in the body of Christ today. A lot of Christians don't even believe that Satan's real. They don't even believe that Satan has a kingdom. They don't even realize that there's a spiritual realm working against them and pressing against them all the time. Satan has a kingdom. His kingdom, of course, is a hierarchy of demonic personalities and so on. And that kingdom is operating on this earth, trying to operate against us on a daily basis. Satan is trying to pressure the minds of people. He is trying to get their thinking wrong. He is trying to put temptations in their path. He's doing everything he can to drag people or to seduce them away from the plan of God. He's trying to give us interests that would take our time and our effort away from what God wants us to do. His kingdom is absolutely real. And folks, Jesus was not lying. Jesus was not, you know, using a metaphor. Satan is not a representation or an allegory of just evil. No, there is a real devil. He has a real kingdom, and you are contending against that kingdom on a regular basis, whether you know it or not. Amen. And the good news is we win. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's good news. But we're going to see how this kingdom of Satan does indeed try to hinder people and how it's going to work. And I'm just going to just end the suspense here. Men, you know, this is going to address a lot of, you know, the attacks that come against guys or men in the family, men in the home, and men in this world, and how Satan tries to stand against you. We're going to talk about that. Absolutely. They accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, but Jesus was simply explaining that Satan is smart enough not to be divided against his own self. Folks, we got to ask ourselves, are we smart enough to make sure that we are not divided against our own self? And we see in this passage that Satan wants to divide a nation, he wants to divide a city, and he wants to divide a home. And the way that Satan brings down a nation, the way that Satan brings down a region or a city, is that he works against the home. Everything that God does starts at the home level. It starts with the marriage of the home and, you know, the issues of the home and so on. Absolutely. Amen. Jesus in this passage is teaching about the spiritual laws of authority, leadership, and headship. We have to know and understand God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, and the kingdoms of men work on this spiritual principle of headship, leadership, and authority. How many of you know God's kingdom has a head? You know, he is the head. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. God the Father is the head of his kingdom. Amen. How many of you know in the kingdoms of men, we have presidents, or we have kings, or we have, you know, politicians that serve as leadership in our civic government? How many of you know Satan's kingdom has a head, literally has a leader? It is Satan himself. And we have to know and understand, you know, this principle, and we have to know and understand that God knows and the devil knows that if, you know, whoever controls the head of a home, whoever controls the head of a region or of a city, or the head of a nation, he can bring that thing down. We have to know and understand that Satan will move against those that God has ordained to be the leaders or the head of something, all right? Whether it's the head of the home, or the head of a city, or the head of a nation, Satan will work against that leadership. Are you here tonight? All right. These spiritual laws of authority and headship, they govern a kingdom, they govern a nation, they govern a city, and they govern our homes. Yes, these are spiritual laws, right? And I'll tell you what, the direction of nations, the course of kingdoms, and the control over local communities and cities, and the control of the home and the human family, all comes down to headship. Are you here tonight? The destinies of marriages, the destinies, the future of children, the outcome of world powers, the destinies of nation, it all starts with spiritual headship of the home. And I'll tell you what, the spiritual headship of the home in our nation right now is under attack like never before, right? And men, I'm just going to address you first and foremost. It starts with us. It doesn't end with us, but it certainly starts with us. Amen. Go down there to verse 29, if you would. Let's start looking at this. Praise the Lord. Look at in verse 29. Jesus says this, "How can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry away his property or his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" Oh, here we go. Guys, I'm going to tell you, men, are you listening here tonight? That everything that God wants to do in your home is going to start with you. Women, that does not mean you're being overlooked. Women, that doesn't mean that you're not just as important. That doesn't mean that, you know, God doesn't have a special role for you. But notice this verse. Jesus is using a natural truth to teach on the spiritual laws of headship and authority. In Jesus' got done implying in this passage that Satan's kingdom wants to divide a nation and a region. If he wants to tear down what God's doing in the city of Erie in northwest Pennsylvania, if he wants to tear down what God wants to do in this nation, Satan will first attack and try to divide the home. Because if Satan could get into the home, he can get into the region, and he could absolutely get into and bring down a nation. Do you see this progression? And so Jesus now, talking about spiritual headship and authority in the home, city, and nation, he said, how can anyone, he uses this as a simple illustration. He said, how can one enter into a strong man's house? He's talking about the leader of the home or the man of the house. If someone's going to break into a house and steal his goods, he's going to have to contend with that strong man. You know, let me put it this way. You know, and I'm going to get very direct. Jesus is using a natural truth. If somebody shows up to my home to do harm, the first person that God has put there to defend that home is me. And I'm going to pop some spiritual bubbles in here tonight. And I'll tell you what, I am a firm believer. The scripture tells us. How many of you believe that angels go before us? No evil befall us, no plague near our dwelling. Angels help and protect. But I'm here to tell you, in the home, the first level of defense for the home is not an angel. It is a man. Oh, boy. All right. And I know in a perfect world, we're not living in a perfect world and everyone's situation is different. But I'm here to tell you, if someone shows up to my house to do harm against my home, God not only expects me to do something about it, he has anointed me to do something about it. If somebody shows up to do harm to my home with my wife and my kids, I will absolutely defend that house. I will defend it with lethal force if I have to. You know, I'm not going to go to the door and ask an angel to take care of someone trying to do harm. I'm going to bring a 357 Magnum, a 12-gauge shotgun. Yeah, I'll be like, oh my goodness, oh, Christian wouldn't do that. No, God has put somebody in the house. He's saying that there's a strong man that is already in that home, and he's to stop that thief. He's there to stop that one that would be trying to do harm to what belongs to God. Absolutely. Amen. So Jesus is using a natural illustration to teach on these spiritual laws of spiritual headship. And the good news is, folks, and I'm not going to take the time and teach, you know, some deep thesis here tonight. And I'm just going to, I don't know why I'm being led on this, but I'm just going to say it because it's absolutely true. And this is not, you know, I refuse to succumb to political correctness or people calling me sexist or whatever. Listen, nobody has more respect to the divine call upon a woman, a mother, and a wife than me in this church. Absolutely. We just think, you know, we're just impressed and so moved by how God uses women. I'm addressing more of the men here tonight, but you know, please don't take that as, you know, some kind of indictment against women. But I'm here to tell you, the scripture tells us who is the spiritual head of the house? The man. Absolutely. 100%. And so now, if the man is the spiritual head or is walking in headship, the scripture is telling us that Satan wants to divide that home. Who is he going to come against? He's going to come against the man. Not to say that he wouldn't try to attack, you know, a godly wife. Thank God for spiritual women. We have so many spiritual women around here tonight, right? But let me just ask you this question, and let's just be honest. If we had to say who typically, on average, I know there's plenty of exceptions, but on average, even within Christian couples, who tends to be more spiritual? The man or the woman? Any votes, anyone? The woman. As a pastor, listen, there's a lot of godly, awesome men here tonight. And again, that's not an indictment. I'm just talking generally. But, you know, a lot of times, as a pastor, I would, if I had to just put a number on it, I'm just throwing this out there for an illustration. I would say, you know, 70 to 80% of the time in Christian couples, the woman is more spiritual than the man. All right. Anyone else besides me? Guys, anyone else have a spiritual wife besides me? Right? You know? Amen. That happens a lot of the time. Now we got to ask ourselves, you know, as a pastor, I've seen over the years where women, they just long for their husband to read the Bible. They long for their husband to pray. They long for their husband to maybe be as, you know, active in the church as they are. They long for their husband to be spiritual and things like that. You know, I've seen so much of that over the years. Why is that? We got to ask ourselves, why is there such a discrepancy between a lot of times the faithfulness of a Christian woman and the faithfulness of a Christian man? Why do we see such a discrepancy? Let me answer that question for you right now as we see it in these verses here tonight. Men and a husband will be more spiritually attacked and pressured because he is the head of the home. There is going to be more spiritual assault, more spiritual attacks, and more spiritual resistance against a man who desires to lead his home in the things of God. Boy, are you here tonight? Against a man who wants to be a strong man in the house, who wants to serve the Lord. Ladies, that's not to say we're diminishing what you face and what you go through. We're going to talk about that side of things because let's face it, there's no man that ever did anything great without a really great woman with him, right? And so please do not misunderstand what I'm saying here tonight. But what we're talking about is that if men are the spiritual heads of the home, they will face a brunt of spiritual attacks, assaults on their mind, you know, trying to keep them away from the plan of God in their life. Are you here tonight? The battle of good and evil, the battle of heaven and hell, God and Satan, angels and demons, all begins with the headship of the home or the strong man. Now, Jesus is using a natural illustration to talk about a spiritual law. How many of you know that if a man was bound, you know, naturally speaking, if he was tied up, he would not be able to keep the thief out of his house? Well, Jesus is talking spiritually. Jesus is letting us know that Satan seeks to bind or to hold down and hinder men from walking in their proper place as the head of the home, because Satan knows that if he can bind men, if he can distract them, if he can take them away from the Word, take them away from the sacred things of God, take them away from prayer, if Satan can subtly make men disinterested in the things of God, he can divide the home, divide the city, and divide the nation. The reason why our nation, the reason why the church in America, the reason why our nation, the reason why our regions and things continue to take a downward spiritual slide is because men are being attacked and being distracted and pulled away from their proper place. Oh, are you here tonight? The battle of good and evil, heaven and hell, God and Satan, angels and demons, it all begins with headship in the home. God and Satan both know this truth, that whatever or whoever controls the man of the house will set the direction for regions and nations. Do you see that in that verse? Whoever controls the man of the house gets to take the goods. Do you see that? You know, men, if we are distracted, men, if we're not men of prayer, if we're not men of the Word, if we're not there actively putting God first in our homes, in our families, we're going to be stolen from. Absolutely. The battle for our national spiritual health begins with the battle to control every man. The national conscience will be instilled by men within their homes. Ooh, are you here? God intended. I'm going to just obey the Lord. If you're wondering why I'm up here chuckling, because, you know, to say these things is never, you know, the most naturally fun thing. But I'm willing to do it. God intended every home to be led by a strong man. Ooh, boy. Oh, goodness. I'm going to say it. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on Saturday night. There's so many godly men and everything. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if a woman is running the house with a husband in it, all right, understand I'm not talking about a single mom. I'm not talking about a single woman. But if a woman is running the house with a man in it, you're out of God's order. Boy, why am I saying this? I feel like God's trying to rescue somebody. That's how I can describe it. I don't even know how else to say it. And I'm not even aware of any issues in this room right now, but that's just how I feel in the spirit, like God's trying to rescue somebody. God intended every home to be led by a strong man. God intended every home to be run by a man who is not divided against himself or against his own home. God is looking for men who are submitted to his will. He's looking for men who will yield to the direction and the leading of the Holy Ghost. God is looking for men who will understand the value and the sacredness of God's house and his word. Amen. Are you here tonight? Glory to God. Yes, praise the Lord. God intended, see this in this verse. God intended every home, God intended every man of the home to be a defender of the spiritual climate of the home. Amen. God intended the man to be the setter of the priorities. God intended the man to be a rock of stability, a defender of the spiritual health of his wife and his kids. God intended the man to be a pursuer of wisdom. But let's face it, so often in our society, men are not doing this. Why are we seeing, again, women having to coax men into being spiritual, coax men into obeying God, you know, a pressure, or see them doing what God wants them to do? Again, the answer is because men are under spiritual attack more than ever before. And ladies, wives, this will start to help you to understand what your husbands go through at times. Because why are we on this here tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. I see as a pastor, you know, over the years where there's women, they struggle with maybe some of the lapses or failures or the lack of spiritual interest in their husband. And there's a big time temptation for those women to really get down on their husbands, you know, or to really get frustrated and start to, you know, antagonize them and try to, you know, force them into something. Ladies, be very careful about that. Be very careful. Your husband, as the head of the home, is absolutely going to be attacked. There's going to be a greater resistance against him, all right? And your role there is going to be encourage, even when he might not deserve it. Your role is going to need there to lift him up and to pray for him at times when even it seems like, you know, it's the last thing in the world that you want to do. Are you here? Because I'll tell you what, the headship of the home is so important. It is going to set the direction for everything that God wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we can't allow ourselves, you know, ladies, as wives, you can't allow yourself to get so, you know, frustrated, broken down, you know, where the next thing you know, you stop praying for him, you know, or you start belittling or insulting or something like that. Amen. He needs your help more than ever before. Are you here? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. God intended every home to be led by a strong man. I'm one that is a setter of priorities and the rock of stability and a pursuer of wisdom. Yeah. Men will be the most attacked person in the house because Satan knows the laws of spiritual authority. He understands that if he can spoil the man, if he can drag the man into distraction, drag the man out of the will of God, it could control the destinies of the children. It could control the outcomes of the marriage. It can hurt the unity of the marriage. What does the scripture say? The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put what? 10,000 to flight. Notice with unity, the strength multiplies exponentially. See, you know, Satan wants to divide marriages Because what? Imagine just what a couple that is completely unified for the things of God, imagine what they can do for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so wives, that's why your husbands, even if you seem to be outpacing him spiritually, still know he's still the head of the home. God is not going to say, well, she knows more than him, and she prays more than him, she reads the Bible more than him, she goes to church more than him, so she's the head of the home. Wrong. Wrong. He is still the head of the house, regardless of how spiritual the wife is. And if you know, we've got a lot of spiritual women here tonight. I'll tell you what, lend your spiritual strength to the prayers and the faith for your husband to walk in that role that God has assigned to him. Pray that your husband would step up. You say, well, Pastor, I've been doing that for years. Keep on doing that. Keep on doing that. God wants to see him. Let him lead. Even if he's going to fail at times, let him lead. I'll tell you what, we're so afraid of failure. Listen, I'm here to tell you, and maybe, well, all of a sudden I'm talking to the ladies. Ladies, you're going to see your husband fail. You know, you're going to see your husband, you know, all of a sudden want nothing to do with God. Or you're going to see your husband at times, you know, make mistakes or whatever. Not that you don't, but a lot of times, you know, women get really discouraged to see the mistakes that their husbands are making. But please know this, you got to understand how Satan is coming against him. And so your faith is needed. Your encouragement is valuable. You're you know, just tell him the good things he is doing. If he's a good husband in any form or fashion, find the strong points and let him know those things that he's doing that are right. Say, Pastor, where is this coming from? Take it up with God. Take it up with God. Praise the Lord. The man will be the most attacked person in the house. Satan knows he's got to divide that home. He's got to destroy the unity of that marriage. Yeah. He's got to try to, derail the accomplishments of what that couple could do together. I'm going to give you a four things here tonight real quickly that are coming against men more at any other time. And ladies, there's going to be some understanding that you're going to get out of this. I'm just here to obey God. We've been talking about spiritual authority. We've been talking about using our authority. Well, it just seems like the Holy Ghost shifted us into this realm here. All right. Let me give you these four things that I see that come against men, and it is satanic in origin, trying to divide them against themselves and against their own homes. The number one attack on a man, are you ready? Discouragement. Discouragement. We might not even realize it, that that's the number one attack that comes against men. And you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, Pastor, what are you going through? Is there something? I'm just preaching the word that God gave me. Amen. Discouragement. Satan is leveling an all-out assault upon the minds of men to tell them that they are failures, to tell them that they have accomplished nothing, to tell them that they should be more successful, to tell them that they should be more spiritual, they haven't done enough, they're spiritually lazy, they're indifferent, they're worthless. This kind of attack is not natural. It is demonic in origin, discouraging men to try to feel like they are nothing and will ever become nothing. Even a message like this, Satan is going to try to knock on your brain, guys, and try to tell you, see, you're not doing enough. You're not being the head of the home like you should. No, this is not to put you down. This is God calling you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is for all of us to understand how the plan of God is at stake in our homes. Our nation is just going the direction of what's happening in the homes. Our cities are just going the direction of what's happening in the house, right? Satan is trying to distract and bind the strong man so he can steal. And he's trying to do that through discouragement. Yeah. Our society right now is trying to punish men for leading and being strong. That is absolutely true. All of a sudden, masculinity is called toxic. All of a sudden, you know, there's this attack trying to, you know, like men have to be ashamed if they're strong. You know, and what we mean by strong, that means that, you know, we're all invested in what's sacred to God. We're going to talk about that. But our society today, you know, calls you sexist if you're a strong, you know, a strong man. You know, our society calls you, you know, chauvinistic, or it's this, you know, political correct nature. All of a sudden, we in our nation right now, you can see the devil's hand, you know, working, trying to make women men and men women. All of a sudden, we have men, biological men, competing in women's sports. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, they believe that their gender is just fluid and it just changes and they can be whatever they want to be. Folks, listen, my heart is, you know, is saddened for people that are that confused, but I'm here to tell you that is not God. That is demonic. That is wrong. And I'm not here to attack those people personally, but that sin, you know, is absolutely wrong. And it's demonic in origin, and it's just an illustration of how Satan is trying to mix up the roles. You know, all of a sudden, you know, there's this whole trying to, you know, empower a woman over a man. I'm here to tell you, in the home and in the marriage, that is wrong. Take a deep breath. Say, well, Pastor, you're not very politically correct. I don't care what it's called. I'm just going to preach truth. God needs strong men in the house who are setting the spiritual temperature, who are setting a spiritual example, who love the things of God, who are willing to defend and know who they are as Christian men. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't let discouragement take you out of that. This is a question we could ask everybody, but guys, I'm going to point it towards you. Have you ever felt spiritually lazy? Have you ever just felt downright indifferent towards the things of God? Have you ever wondered, sat there and struggled within yourself, why am I not more interested in the things of God? Why am I not like, you know, sometimes why am I not like my wife, or why am I not like, you know, the preacher, or why am I not like this other guy over here or whatever? Have you ever just wondered at times, men? Ladies, you can go ahead and jump in on this question too, because I'm sure it happens to you too. But, you know, guys, you're wondering, why am I so indifferent? Why can't I seem to generate true interest for prayer or for reading the Bible? I'm not saying this happens to everyone the same, but it happens to guys, and they wonder why. I'm here to tell you, that is a demonic attack. We think that the devil shows up on our doorstep with a pitchfork and a pointy tail saying, here, I'm going to steal all your money and all your happiness. No, the devil is very subtle, and he will move against you with discouragement and thoughts of a lack of worth, you know, or feeling like a failure. I'll tell you what, we will never know our worth, men, until we know the Word of God and have our minds renewed by the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not because, you know, about just reading the Bible enough, but it's about becoming like what Jesus said here, strong. This is what will make a man's mind strong. This is what will absolutely add wisdom to him. You know, I'm not reading the Bible to get God's approval. I'm not reading the Bible to make my wife happy, right? I'm reading the Word to get His strength into my life, because the home, my wife and my kids are depending upon a man's strength. And people say, oh, I don't know about that. That's just not right. We're not depending on the man of the house. I'm pretending, you know, I'm just leaning on God. Well, I'm here to tell you, look at the Scripture. Clearly the strength that is in the head of the home, that home is dependent upon that. Absolutely. And so God is looking for men that will put down the discouragement, folks. I'm here to tell you, guys, if you're feeling like a failure, shrug it off. You know, you're going to have to answer that failure with a little authority of your own. You know, remember who you are. You know, what do you do when the devil calls you a failure? And what do you do when he's actually telling you the truth? You ever had the devil tell you something about yourself, and then you looked at it and realized, actually, that's true. There are times when the devil will tell you something that's true about yourself. Absolutely. Sure got quiet here. That's absolutely right. What do you do when the devil actually tells you a weakness about yourself that actually happens to be true? That's when you say, the blood of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely a truth. We all have, you know, faults. We all have failures. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that fills in the gaps. Amen. Glory to God. Beware, men. Put down that discouragement. You know, say, well, my wife doesn't encourage me enough or whatever. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. Make sure your encouragement comes from the presence of the Lord. Amen. What does God say about you? Hallelujah. Here's the second thing that the devil is using to try to get men to be divided against their own home. Number two, fear. A lot of times I'm seeing a lot of this lately. And I talked about this last week. But there is a fear right now, especially among men. They're afraid of what it actually might cost them to be fully sold out to God. The fear of what it might cost. You know, I'm here to tell you, it won't cost you anything. Well, I gotta watch out how I say that. Let me explain what I'm saying about that. The devil will sit there and tell you, you're going to lose time, you're going to lose money. And then, of course, in a man's mind, the devil's going to say, you're going to lose money. You're going to lose money. The devil will pound on a man's mind about the whole money issue. If you're in church all the time, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. You're going to have to give up, you know, some things in your life. There might be friendships that might be challenged. And all that's true, all right? But what I mean when I say it'll cost you nothing, I'm telling you the blessing of God will far out exceed anything that it costs you to serve the Lord. Amen. Yes, there's times when our friendships are challenged in order to be obedient to Christ. Yes, we're going to have to lay down, you know, bad habits and addictions and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, it pays to serve God. And it creates more joy than you ever lost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let the devil try to come against you with fear like, oh, what if you actually prayed every day? What if you went to church more? What if you gave more? What if you did this? The mind of a man starts to get drummed up with fear when they think that they're going to lose something. Yeah. Oh, am I going to say that? Men are by nature egotistical and selfish. Hey, guys, there we go. That's a good place for an amen right there, guys. I'm going to shock you by saying this. Yes, it is the nature of a man at times to be selfish and egotistical. But here's what we need to know. God made man that way. All right, now when I say selfish, there's obviously a bad side to that, okay? But God made man with ego. Oh boy, am I really going to go down this road? Okay. What that means is that man was made to create, to build, to accomplish, to succeed. God made men to win. He did. God made men to win. He told Adam, before sin ever entered into the world, he told Adam, he's like, I've put you in this garden to work this garden. Hey, work was not the devil's idea. Work was God's idea, right? He said, I put you here to work this garden, and I put you here, Adam, to guard the garden. Remember that in Genesis 2:15? It says that God set him in the east side of Eden to dress and to keep the garden. Remember that? To dress means to work it. To keep means to guard. Man was supposed to be a worker, a winner. Amen. And so there is an egotistical side to that where it's very driven, it's very purposeful, it's building and creating and, you know, all this stuff. You know, God made man to accomplish, all right? And so, you know, that egotistical side, it's not all bad, but we just have to know that the reason why I bring this up is because men, you know, if we do anything anybody's way, whose way do we want to do it? Our way. No, men, naturally speaking. See, we got a spiritual man over here. Is there any other men besides Brother Stephen here tonight that want to do things your own way a lot of times? I'm saying the temptation is to do things our own way, all right? But it takes an act of, spirituality to lay down our own ways and seek the ways of God. But the devil will be there to tell you, you can't do that. You're going to lose time. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose your fun. Oh, boy. Here's the third thing that Satan tries to divide a man with. Temper. Anger. Anger. Oh, my goodness. Boy. You know, and the Bible says that in the last days, men will be without natural affection. You know, that there will be a temptation on humanity in general just to be mean. And man, I'll tell you what, I don't know if anyone else has noticed it over the last few years. And I keep saying this, and again, I understand my vantage point is different, you know, being in the ministry. You know, I deal with a lot of wonderful, situations, a lot of wonderful people. But also, too, there's just things that come up at times where people get very vindictive, attacking, and so on. And I will say this, ever since COVID, something changed. You know, something has changed where people are less patient. They are less loving towards one another. I'll tell you, I don't know why all of a sudden there's such an explosion amongst Christians to attack, accuse, and expose every wrong thing that Christians are doing. Attack, accuse, and expose. I'll tell you what, that is not God's will. The Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. Folks, we're supposed to cover people's sins. Forgive it. Let it go. Not expose it. Not uncover it. I mean, I truly believe that the social media explosion has led to this just outbreak of everyone trying to expose one another. Here's what they're doing wrong. Well, man of life, if you want to find out what I'm doing wrong, just come and ask me. I'll just tell you. Man, I'll tell you what, isn't that true? We all know our failures more than anyone else. I've had people tell me stuff about me and all this stuff. I said, man, why'd you come up with that? Just come and ask me first. I would have told you. I would have told you before you could have. I actually would have. I told somebody sometime, they brought me a list of all the stuff I was doing wrong, and I said, guys, I said, I will write you a list that's a lot worse than that. I said, if that's a list against me, I'm doing pretty good. Man, can I have that? Makes me feel pretty good about myself. Yeah. Temper. Satan knows that if he can get anger in the home, he can work his plan. Satan's plan is to make the one in control out of control. Headship. The man is supposed to be a rock of stability, a person of self-control. Satan's plan is to take the head of the home and get him out of control. And I've seen this with temper. Satan knows that a loss of temper and a loss of self-control will disqualify a home from what God wants to do there. Well, didn't the scripture say over there in Proverbs 19:19, it says a man of great wrath will suffer loss or punishment. In the Hebrew, it says financial loss. Very interesting. You know, of course, we remember over there in James 3:14 through 16, it says, don't have, envy and strife among you, for where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. This wisdom is not from above, but it is devilish or demonic. Fighting. It descends not from above. To fight and to lose, your temper and to fly off the handle and lose control, it is not the wisdom of God. It will actually allow Satan to move in and take control of a home and disqualify what God wants to do there. Satan knows that a loss of temper will shatter a child's sense of security. I don't care how old that child is. a child, I don't care if they're, you know, toddlers or if they're teenagers, if they're seeing mom and dad screaming at each other, I'm telling you, their sense of security is being damaged. Are you here tonight? A loss of temper will shatter a wife's confidence in her husband. A loss of control will unravel the fabric of stability in the home. Amen. These things are trying to get men to divide their home and divide against their own selves. Here's the fourth thing I'm going to share with you. We're going to get ready to just end with this. Bitterness. Bitterness. Say, Pastor, well, where are these things coming from? Well, I believe the Holy Ghost has given them to me, but I've seen these just in my experience. And, of course, the Scripture tells us, you know, about these things. You know, a man of great wrath will suffer loss. You know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, I see we are living in a time right now where fighting in the home is an absolute epidemic. I'm just seeing it all over the place. People are just screaming and shouting and fighting nonstop, even amongst Christian people. And I'm here to tell you that that fighting and that divisiveness is just allowing Satan to get in. We're not supposed to give place to the devil. We're supposed to take place from the devil. Amen. Here's the fourth thing, bitterness. I notice this quite a bit. The devil tries to convince men to get bitter at everything or act like everything is wrong or to become very politically minded and get bitter at the world or bitter about their situation. And again, the devil will knock on the mind of a man and say, you're a failure, you don't make enough money. You know, you should be further ahead, you should be doing this by now, you should be this or that. Be careful. That is the devil trying to absolutely steal your lunch, try to make you bitter in life. I see men becoming embittered against their wives. Where is that verse? Can you try Colossians 3:19? Where is that verse? This is a verse about this. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Yeah. That one verse would save a lot of marriages right there. Husbands, love your wives, nurture her, give to her, sacrifice for her, be generous to her. Amen. So obviously we're not preaching a head of a home who is like King Kong. We're not preaching that men should be tyrants. Men should be in love with God. They should be generous to God. They should be in love with their wives and be generous to their wives. Amen. They should be nurturing and caring. Amen. Glory to God. But notice the Scripture says, men, do not get bitter against your wives. Why would the Scripture say that? Because men have a tendency to get bitter. Oh, boy. Yeah. In these days, a lot of the divide in our political, you know, our political realm has tried to get into the home and try to, you know, take control of the atmosphere in the home. A lot of men are sitting there, they're watching news, and they're watching all this stuff. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of it. It's a root of bitterness trying to get a hold of somebody. Nothing wrong with watching the news. But when you're sitting there hour after hour after hour, upset at what Joe Biden did, or upset at what Trump's doing, upset, and blah, 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 blah. I see people, they get so bitter. They can't contain themselves when they think about some politician somewhere. They lose control. Listen, I'm praying for the people in political office. Say, well, Pastor, but do you agree with them all? Of course I don't. You know, but my job isn't to win an argument against them. My responsibility as a believer is to pray for them. Amen. So, well, Pastor, don't you see, you know, the really evil people that, you know, are in our Congress and in our Senate and all these places in our government? Yeah, there's a lot of evil people there. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to solve anything. God never told me, you know, to just sit there and, you know, get a root of bitterness of how evil they are, right? The Scripture told me to pray for them. Actually, Romans chapter 13 told us that people that are in political office are called the what? Ministers of God. And that is written to the Roman church that was under the rule of Caesar, who call themselves God. And the funny thing is that the Lord instructed those Roman Christians to honor him even when he was very dishonorable. Are you here? Nothing wrong with disagreeing with politicians, but sitting there working up and getting bitter against them, it's just going to lead to that bitterness taking root and getting into the home and getting, you know, in other places in your life. Yeah, men, be very careful to stand against discouragement. I mean, the devil will try to tell you you're a loser every single day. You're not good enough. You're not good enough for your wife. You don't do enough. You're a failure. You're worthless. You better stand against that. That's a demonic attack. Yes, in Jesus' mighty name. I don't take that thought. Even if that thought is true. Like, what, you know what I'm saying with that? What do you do when the devil tells you something that is true about yourself? I don't take that thought. You know why? Because that's not how God sees me. That's not how God sees you. Amen. You have to cast down things that Satan, you know, says to you, even if he's telling you the truth. You know, there were times when Satan did tell the truth in the Bible. Actually, he told the truth up there on the mountain when he took Jesus up there and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. Remember what Satan said? He said, "All that you see has been delivered unto me." That actually was true. You do know that the nations of the world were delivered to Satan. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus is, you know, is taking them back. You know, but we have to know and understand that the devil will say things to you at times that's true about you. But you aren't to take that thought. It's not because of what is being said, it's about who said it. Amen. Did you get a hold of that? Praise the Lord. Don't give in to discouragement. Don't be afraid to serve God fully and afraid of what it might cost you or what you might have to give up. Guys, be careful about temper. Anger is trying to get you out of control and take you from that place of your spiritual headship. And fourth, bitterness. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Oh, Pastor, I'm bitter at someone at work. I'm bitter at this person. I'm bitter at my wife. I'm bitter at this. Guys, you better lay that down. Men, we're not to be embittered against anybody. Are you getting any help? Yeah. And now I'm going to end right here. Can you bring up Proverbs 24 in verse 5? I love this. Jesus said, if you bind the strong man, you can spoil the goods. But isn't the reciprocal side of that true? But if the strong man stood up, if the strong man wasn't bound, he could have stopped that thief. I believe that. I truly believe that there are more things, you know, the devil tries to bring into families through men who are not standing their place. And I have seen that. You know, I'm not saying I've been perfect. I'm not saying, you know, we have to be perfect. I'm just saying that Satan tries to take down and get the guard down from the man of the house. Are you here tonight? The Bible says a wise man is strong. Here we go. It says, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Notice I love that first statement, a wise man is strong. Wisdom, are you ready? Guys, are you ready for this? Here's the answer. Wisdom is the ability to value what is eternal. I'm going to say that again. Wisdom is the ability to value eternal things. We need more men. Now, I'm not talking about just this church. I'm really preaching to the choir. You guys are knocking it out of the park. But for whatever reason, I'm to preach this message this weekend, and so be it. I will. Glory to God. Wisdom is the ability to value things that have eternal purpose. Wisdom is the ability to respect eternal values over temporary thrills. Can I say that again? Men, let's be honest. Many times we are just chasing temporary thrills. But notice, listen to this again. Wisdom is the ability to respect eternal values over temporary thrills. Yes. This is an assault upon the mind of men to love temporary things that have no eternal value. Oh. The assault against a man's mind is to love things that only have temporary value. but have no eternal value. Hello. Does that mean you can't have nice things? Does that mean you can't, you know, enjoy life or whatever? But I'll tell you what, there's a temptation with men, you know, especially these days, to get too wrapped up, too distracted, you know, too caught up in all these temporary things. We got to make sure that we put eternal things first. Guys, you get any help out of this here tonight? Ladies, did you get any help out of this here tonight? I'll tell you what, ladies, what is your part in all this? Pray for your husband. Because just like a pastor is the head of a local church and there will be more resistance on a pastor, the man of the house is like the pastor of the home. There will be more resistance. There will be more attacks. There will be more things. You know, so many times, you know, I literally have married couples say this, or ladies will say this to me about their husbands. They'll be like, I just don't understand why he did that. I just don't understand why he decided that. I don't know why he does this. I don't know why he does that. Or just when he gets, you know, right on the right track, all of a sudden, you know, he falls back into this or whatever it is. And I have to tell them, your husband has more pressure on him than you do. Spiritually speaking, Satan wants to take down the man of the house. Ladies, that does not mean that you don't play a massive role in keeping the home safe and adding your spiritual, you know, strength to the home. But for whatever reason, I was to preach about the man's side here tonight. That's my message. I'm sticking to it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord, you said, how would anyone get into a home and spoil the house unless he first binds a strong man? Father God, I thank you. And I pray for every man within the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you that our church family is filled with men here tonight. Men that love you. Men that have eternal purpose. Men that pursue wisdom. Men that set priorities for their home. Men that set the spiritual temperature in their house. Thank you, Lord God. I pray that you would strengthen these men, Father, to put down the discouragement. Rebuke that fear that is trying to get into their lives. Father God, I pray that they would lay down the root of bitterness. Thank you, Lord God, that they would lay down anger and temper. That, Father, that they would walk in self-control. Father, you are so good. You are so faithful. Lord, we see that the destinies of nations, the direction and the course of kingdoms, is based on what happens in our own home. And Father God, we know that the spiritual head of every home is the man, the husband. And so Father God, I pray for husbands here tonight. Father, I pray for these men that they would stand in their place of spiritual headship, that they would be the spiritual defender of the home. Father, I pray that they would nurture and they would love their wives and love their children and continue to be a great example to all of them. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you tonight. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited Jesus into your heart? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, but I want to be saved. If that's you, if you say, yeah, I want to know that I'm saved, I want to know that heaven is my home, I'm not going to walk up to you, I'm not going to make you stand up, I'm not going to call you down front here tonight. But if that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you'd say that you're uncertain about your eternal future? You're not sure if you're saved or not? I know almost everybody in the room. I know we're dealing with a group of born-again believers, people that love God and serve God. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your hand of blessing. Thank you, Father God, for these wonderful godly men that are